You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
You're listening to the Outcome Digital Podcast, powered by a team of creative experts focused on fusing design, marketing, and strategy to create winning outcomes. Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Outcome Digital Podcast. I'm Jeff McMahon. I will be your host. And once again, I have the pleasure of sitting with fellow curators Rosh Sillars and Chris Martin. Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm awesome. Great to be sitting face-to-face once again to talk about tonight's topic, what's your budget? And I'm not really asking you guys what your budget is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank God. Now, guys, we want to get some insights together to one of the questions I get asked on a somewhat frequent basis is, how do you go about You met a client, potential client, you had that first meeting. How do you go about extracting, you know, the number they may have in their head on what their project's worth before you go back home to write that proposal, right? So getting that number to craft that proposal, what's your budget? So how do you guys go about this, or do you not?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. It really depends. It depends on the relationship you have with the client. Is this somebody you've worked with in the past?
Let's say no.
Okay. No, someone you're meeting for the first time. There's going to be a lot of questions involved.
Right.
Especially, well, the way I do it. You know, I'm digging into, you know, what are they selling? You know, what does it cost, you know, to produce the product? And you know, what else are they doing to do this? And what are their expectations for the proposal and for the campaign? And then I sort of backtrack with my time, and then so you kind of have that sort of your time versus value ratio. You don't just charge strictly for your time, but you got to kind of equate the value and what the customer is going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Lots and lots of questions about their product, about what it costs to produce their product, what they're going to sell the product for. Then you can sort of gauge, you know, what the value level is of this campaign. And if you hit certain factors along the way, certain revenue milestones, you know, once the campaign's successful, it gives you an idea or a frame of mind. Is it going to be a very difficult campaign? Is it going to be something that's going to be harder and more involved? So you're just kind of breaking down the details, putting it together and seeing what comes out the other end.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, which I think I am, meeting one, let's back up. Phone rings, you get an email, whatever the case is, you set up that meeting. And during that first discussion, you're extracting the information you need to craft that proposal. And I think what I hear you telling me is you're going after the value-based sales model here, right?
It's part of it. Yeah, it's a blend between your time, the value. It all comes down to value.
Okay, because I notice you're digging a lot into, like, what do they make? What is their cost to making it and stuff? So I can assume.
It's a foundation. You got to build off of somewhere.
So, and you're going to ask the questions you need to walk away with a budget, or are you not approaching the number?
The more you can get them thinking, the more you can get them talking, the more information you can pull together. It's not, for me, it's not as necessary to get a concrete number out of that first meeting. If you can allude to one, and if you can start to break it down, a lot of customers have a hard time discussing budget. It's something they've never done before.
Totally get that.
So, you know, sort of whetting their appetite with, you know, a range, you know, between this and this. How does that, you know, does that, and then gauging their body language off of that and see where they go from there. If you don't arrive at a concrete budget out of the gate, you almost don't want to. Because it sort of puts a fence around it. I want to be able to come to that next meeting and say, you know, I thought about it. Here's what it's going to take for this campaign to be successful. And here's what I think it's going to take you to be successful in terms of this campaign budget. But if you sort of lock yourself into a price right then and there at that meeting, it's going to be hard to go home or back to the office and create a solution without being completely if your hands tied by that number they gave you. So somewhere in between.
Right. Rosh, I know you're dying to chime in.
Oh, absolutely. So just sitting here shaking.
Do you have to leave that meeting with a number? What's your take?
You need some numbers, in my opinion. Chris is very thorough. He, as long as I've known him, he's been very thorough. I'm the guy that wants one meeting, and hopefully that's it, and we're done. And it works well for me. I mean,
one meeting to extract the info.
Yeah, and then I'll send them the information. Maybe I have a phone call about the proposal. But during that time, one thing that's absolutely correct, the more information, the better. Asking a lot of questions is so important because one thing we know well is if you don't ask enough questions and don't really have a good understanding of what those expectations of the client are, that's when scope creep comes into play, or that's when an unhappy customer comes into play because they are not getting what they wanted in the first place, or because they think they're not getting what they wanted in the first place, they start pushing you to give them more at the price you have quoted. So,
right.
So I will often ask some key questions to give me a sense of where they are. And I also let them know how I work. For example, a pay-per-click campaign. The basics, I'll say it's a 20% fee with a basic minimum. Okay. And then it goes down with volume. So if it's a $50,000 a month campaign, we're down to 10% kind of a thing. But then when it comes to SEO, I can't just right then and there say, this is how much it is, because that's where competition levels play a big role. How tough are those keywords? So I give them a range. I will say, customers in your category tend to go from this point to this point in terms of costs. And I kind of get a read their face, where are they in this, and understand. And if I need to pull back, what I tell them is I'll say, look, I can do what I normally do, but it'll take longer to get there at a lower price.
Right.
So you got to pull something back. But I want to get a good feeling of overall what it is they're looking for, what's that expectation. And then my last thing is that I do use a system, what I call a point system, once I've evaluated everything, which I think is really fair. And yes, some clients are a little confused at the beginning, but I let them know, look, this is an internal number that I share with you. And that internal number tells me, one, how much to charge you, but then also to take that number back to my team. And so now they know how much work to do based on how much we're charging you. So in other words, you are getting exactly what you've paid for versus me saying, hey, here's the price for everyone, and team, just do whatever we do. It all matches up. So if you are putting thousands of dollars into SEO, then you're getting the work attached to that, and the team knows it, and there's no questions around it.
So the point system kind of helps build alignment between what you sold the project for and the amount of work.
Right.
I see.
Yeah. And it works all the way through, because a lot of times, some of the stuff that we do is considered a little voodoo, and people aren't really sure what's going on. That's one reason why I switched to, which is very common these days, the percentage model. The good old days, we're charging 50% of the fee, but now it's worked its way down, and the agencies are running 10 to 20%. And I've stuck with that model, and it works out well for the most part.
Right. You gotta gauge too, what does this relationship look like? Is this something you want,
Is there a personality penalty?
And we always joke.
Seriously.
We absolutely talk about that. We joke. But, there is some of that extra, is this client going to keep pushing the boundaries of this campaign and what we do? And you gotta plan ahead for that. It's no good for you or them if we try and rope that in too tight. Mm-hmm. Then you're constantly hitting a boundary in terms of what you're charging.
Well, and so this is great conversation. I don't like the boundary, and I agree with what you're saying, but here's the thing. When I've left that first meeting without at least even a range or a number, it's always went, it starts to go south.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Because more time, more meetings. Yeah, tougher. Can I throw something in real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a partner that I work with, and we went in to see a client about a year ago, and just a year ago, and he came in And we both had, we had a conversation with the client. And at the end of the meeting, he pulled out a piece of paper. He said, okay, based on what we've just talked about, we can do this, this, and this, and this. If you'd like to move forward, just sign right here. And here's the amount. And of course, my jaw's on the ground. I'm like, you know, it was fine. It was, I mean, that's what I brought him there for. Mm-hmm. Well, I just landed the client officially last right. week. So the point being is that, you know, the quicker you can sign them on the dotted line, the quicker, you know, the better the chance you're going to get it. Now, let's add a little context. The fact that this was he was doing the web and I was doing the marketing. So my part was afterwards, but still the point is I could have signed that day too. And yeah. I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so, and I hear you guys too, both mentioning, you know, one meeting. I'm old school with this one. In the world of sales, I want to be in front of somebody as much as possible. And I know that that's more time. But, and Chris, you and I, back in the day, we experienced this together. I sit down with somebody for the first meeting. I love to schedule another meeting to face-to-face deliver the proposal.
Yeah. Oh, that's a must.
Sit down, talk about it, go mm-hmm. through it because, well, for a lot of reasons. One, you're continuing to build that relationship, right? Even though you're not doing business yet, you're building the relationship. You can read the body language as you review the proposal. You can read their face. And I think that there's just huge value in getting staying in front of somebody as much as possible during the sales process. When I've sent proposals out back in the day, it's like, okay, did they read it? And even with the technology that tells us when they've read it and what they've done, it's just not the same. You followed up with a phone call. Hey, I emailed you the link as discussed. Did you take a look at the proposal? You know whether they did or didn't, but you're asking the question anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, the whole relationship building process gets cold during that.
Yeah.
With that approach.
We were talking about this before we hit record. And basically what you're doing when you send that proposal to somebody and just saying, hey, look this over. That thing is in stone. That thing might as well be pounded into granite in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you go and you present it to them, you get the body language going. You get the conversation going. It becomes more of a working document than something that's just like sticker shock to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you take one thing away from this discussion from us today, it's do all proposal presentations in person.
I 100% agree.
No exceptions.
Well, I agree that shouldn't be if you want to run best practices. Mm-hmm. I certainly do both, obviously, depending on my time, obviously.
It depends on the relationship, too.
It depends on the relationship. But no, I would say that I probably would have a higher percentage of closes if I actually did more one-on-one presentations like that. Now, what I do when I'm listening to that client, the way I approach this, I really listen to them in terms of exactly what it is they want. And I give them three options. And the first option is literally exactly what they want or what we discussed or what our conclusion. And then I give them two or three others that are above. Or maybe option B is the one they asked. And then maybe if I'm kind of concerned, I might give them a lower one just mm-hmm. in case to kind of close. But I always follow up with that phone call and say, let's talk about it and so forth. I personally say I probably need to be more aggressive related to that. And that certainly, I totally agree with you that sometimes you need to take that extra step to get in front of them.
That's something, and we kicked this thing off by talking about our different ways of doing things. I've never liked that approach personally, the different options. I really like going in with one option and saying, guys, you know, we've had two or three discussions in person. We spent a lot of time talking about this and I've been doing this a long time. This is what you need to do. And here's your plan. And like, if you can't commit to this, you know, we'll figure something else out. But like, that's always worked best for me. And
right.
I understand, you know, option A, B, and C, you know, depending on their budget and like there's other forces that factor. But for me, like if I go into something believing in it more and saying this is for them or, you know, let's find another way, that's what works best for me. And you got to find out what works best for you. And right. I think that's one of those situations where, Ross, you talk about that's highly successful for a lot of people.
I think
that's where I differ.
But you touched on something, mm-hmm. and that is the confidence level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter. You could have one thing, three things, or the highest price you could possibly think of. You thought every single thing that you possibly do, put it on a piece of paper and go back to them, ignoring everything that they said to you. You could still sell it if mm-hmm. you have the confidence. And so
right.
whatever system you use, the point is, do what you are comfortable with, which is good for your customer, of course. And so
right.
the last example may not be the best one. But the mm-hmm. point being is that if you are comfortable with your system, the client feels comfortable, or the prospect feels comfortable and has confidence and trusts you. And that is what sells your service, that trust and confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Get it. You know, and that's a great point. So one of the things I strive to do is make potential clients understand that, you know, when I ask you for a budget, it's not for any of the reasons you may think. And I let them know, I get it. You don't, talking about a number is a difficult thing. I said, but here's why I ask, because I'm going to walk away from this meeting. I've learned about your business. We've talked about these things. I'm going to walk away. And in my head, I have a vision based on my expertise of what I think it'll take to do a project that wins for your business, whether it's a site, whether it's marketing. I walk away from that meeting and I take that vision and I'm going to put it to paper. Now, if I don't have parameters to work within, I can come back with a Lamborghini price. I can come back with a Corvette price. But what I can't do is come back with something that doesn't work for them, but it works for a number.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I tell them all the time, here's the thing. I can't give you something that fits a budget, your number, a wallet, but doesn't get the job done. And 9 times out of 10, the vision that we execute is going to get the job done. It's just whether or not it works financially. So I need that range to work within, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, you, another good point that, you know, if sometimes people go in lower just to get the client, but there's not enough meat on what you're going to do that they're really not going to feel it. They're not going to see the true results that they're looking for. They have those high expectations. You ask them what their expectations were and you come back with something that's a fifth of their actual need just to get the job. It's not going to last very long.
Yeah, I mean, right. Literally in that situation right now where I told the client and someone I've known for a long time and a very good relationship with, and I told him, like, I'm not even, you know, I can't even spend your money this way. You know, we're not even going to do this. You know, I'd rather.
But that's cool that you say that.
Right. Well, we're not going to, because we got to figure out a different solution. We got to bring, you know, we got to tweak the team. It was an issue with handling, you know, talking about developing marketing, developing leads, crossing over into sales. We needed to beef up that sales team so that the leads didn't kind of die on the vine. So we said, time out. Let's look at the budget. Okay, let's tweak the sales team. So I said, we're not going to keep moving the way we're moving right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked. You know, and now we can continue the conversation. And at the end of the day, we're going to be successful in terms of revenue generation. And sometimes you got to figure it out.
Yeah, I see. Continue the conversation. That's the whole thing. And I think the gist of the long-winded rant that I went on prior to your comment, right? Get in front of them, start the relationship building during the proposal process, and it you're building right from there. You're continuing the conversation. Because here's the thing. If you come back with a number that's hot or something is out of sorts, you can adjust it when you're right in front of them, right? In round two, you're in front of them. You're building the relationship. Like you said, it's a conversation now. If that number is on the high end of the range you've extracted, you can talk through it. You can read that body language and you can talk through it and get to a place of winning. You
know, and it gives them the opportunity. I have a great example. One of my best clients, when I first did the proposal, he came to the office and we talked and he looked at me and he said, can you do it for, and I think it was about $200 less per month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I looked at him and said, absolutely. What I will do is I use my point system. and said, okay, instead of 30 points, we'll do 25 points worth of work. And, you know, and I showed him how the numbers that it was a compromise, you know, and he's like, that fits, that works. Mm-hmm. And to your points, that may not have happened if I just sent him over an email. Right. That conversation may not have happened. And again, I really do believe, you know, you need to know what that ultimate goal is of that client and work their way back. And I think one thing that people, and I am certainly guilty of this, we get in our pattern. This is the price range that we generally charge. And we start to make the judgment for the client, one, how much they can afford, and two, that although they really need this, my price range is this, so I'm going to offer them what I normally do at this price range. And that's dangerous stuff. You can lose great opportunity by making the decision for the client.
It's insanely dangerous. I love the first point you just made with, we walk away and we make, well, I think you said assumptions based on what they can afford. Yeah,
right.
Bad, bad, bad. And the other point you made prior to that, though, was really cool. I think, again, as long as what you said, $200 less was the example, right? And you said, yeah, I can work with that. I'll give less points. And again, that ties right back to where I went earlier in the conversation with, as long as dialing it back does not degrade what you're going to do for them to the point where it's not going to bring them results.
Right.
You're all good, but you don't know that unless you have a conversation.
Yeah, don't just lower the price. You have to take things away.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they're thinking, well, wait a minute. If you didn't have to take anything away, then why were you trying to charge me that much more in the first place? You
right. Hello, red flag. It's like, well, what was I going to pay him that much for then?
Right.
So, all right, guys, it's time to get the gun out and go around the table. Ready?
All righty.
3 points. Chris, getting the budget from their potential client. 3 tips.
Keep the conversation going. Get as much information as you can. And I'm not going to use my date analogy. It's been a long time since I've been on a date. And just proposals in person.
Yeah.
Is key. Opens the conversation up.
Rush.
Certainly, number one by far is ask a lot of questions. Number two, understand the client's expectations. And number three, have a system that you're comfortable with and easy accessible. In other words, understand truly how much do you charge for the things that you charge for. I mean, a lot of times people just wing it along the way versus actually writing it all down. And even those little things you don't always do, because people are going to come at you and say, hey, do you do this? And you're like, oh, well, and then you underbid it because you're like, oh, I don't want to, you know, mess that up. When you already have a price ready to go, it's just easy to say, oh, yeah, that's $200.
Right, right. Yeah. So my tip, always leave that table with a range from that first meeting. And make sure the second meeting is face-to-face. And if there's going to be some negotiating, Rosh, I'm piggybacking off of what you said. I'm not just pulling numbers off. I'm adjusting content of the proposal package. And as long as I don't drop it below a point where I'm not going to be able to provide value at that price, everybody wins. Mm-hmm. Because you can always get out there, do that project, help make your client some money. And if you didn't have the bank to do what you wanted to do the first time, do it down the road. But you got the first deal.
Yep.
Guys, thanks so much for joining our audience tonight. The insights is awesome. Please visit us at outcome.digital for more awesome tips on design, marketing, sales, and all the good stuff. I'm Jeff. I'm your host. You've been listening to Rosh Sillars and Chris Martin, outcome.digital. Till next time.
Good night.